This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Going back to Salem today, day number three of the Oregon State Legislature in the short session. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for being on today.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for having me.
So overall, how do you feel like the first few days went in Salem?
It's been pretty rough. There's a lot going on up here. Just to try to stay up on every single thing that's happening is tough. We all have different committees, of course, and different wheelhouses that we all work in. And there's been, I think the direction of the rest of the session now has been set, so we know where that's headed. But the first couple of days of session are always trying to figure out, what bills are good, what bills are bad, and ultimately, you got the Democrats and the Republicans, what's a priority on our side, what's a priority on their side. And I think we're to the point now with leadership, we've figured that out.
So if the priorities are set, what do you think they are at this point?
Well, of course, the Republican Party's priority starts with affordability, and we're trying to avoid making it more expensive to live in Oregon, whether it be taxes or fees or whatever it may be. We're also trying to bring jobs back to Oregon. That's important, and trying to sidestep red tape, bureaucracy, regulation. The Democrats also claim the same thing, but what we see in the bills is not that at all. What we're seeing in the bills is more regulation. We're seeing some tax bills that are coming up that are we just don't understand how they think that adding more taxes is a good idea, but we understand why they're doing it, because the federal funds have been cut and are going to continue to be cut. So rather than play along with the federal game, I suppose, and do the right thing, they are choosing to double down, and it's going to cost the state, unfortunately, a lot of money.
Now, the big news out this morning, the state revenue forecast, what is your take on it so far?
Wasn't as bad as I expected it would be. I'll tell you, I've got a 7-page document in front of me here that I haven't reviewed the whole thing, but I also have a 2-page document that kind of points out some of the highlights in it. And inflation wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. It's at 2.7%, which is actually good news. We are still down on, we haven't really made any progress in employment. We still have about the same 4.4% unemployment rate through the year. The tariffs haven't been hurting us as bad as they were a year ago, at least what they claimed. So we've seen there's some stuff going the right direction. I think this is the time where if the state would kind of sit back and go, okay, we're at a point here where we can redirect and we can focus on making affordability important, I think we could probably turn the next revenue forecast into a very positive thing. I don't know that we'll get there. I feel like we're a long ways from there.
Is Oregon in a serious budget hole?
We are in a very serious budget hole, and that presents the issue of how do we get out of that hole. You get in those positions when you overspend, when you over, they call it government bloat, I suppose. You get your agencies have grown to the point where they're sucking up so much money. And then when any little hiccup happens or the economy takes a turn or for whatever reason, a tax dollar that you were counting on didn't come in from the feds or wherever that may be, all of a sudden now you have a deficit and you got to fill that hole. A lot of this reflects all the way back to the COVID times when, the federal government was giving us just literally billions of dollars. And our agencies bloated. I mean, they grew, they added people. And, this is a time where you have to go back and say, okay, we need to cut those extra positions and extra, stuff that we don't need, and we need to cut it out and focus on with ODOT, we need to focus on a core mission. But with the state, we need to focus on the core of what makes the state thrive. And that hurts anytime when you're cutting a budget, when you start cutting positions that are unnecessary, it's going to hurt somebody. And I think right now we're still in that do no harm phase. But ultimately, if we don't start doing something, we're going to have some serious problems when it comes down the road.
Given the differences between the GOP and the Democratic positions, what are your thoughts about how the budget shortfall gets resolved?
Well, the way that's an easy question to answer from our side. The way the GOP would handle it, we would treat it like a business. We would go back in. We would cut places where we don't need to be spending money. We'd basically trim the fat and downsize and make things happen. The way that the other side is looking at handling it is things like we're watching 36 different bills right now that are bad bills. Some of them include taking your kicker tax. They want to take, I think, up to $300 million of your kicker tax is what I heard last, and they want to throw that toward the budget. They want to add a sales tax to the state. Now, I don't know if that's going to grow legs or not. It's one of the things we're watching, and we're, you know, obviously going to fight. The only answer, in their opinion, is to increase the revenue coming in to meet the dollars needed.
And now you have 32 days left to get through all of this. I imagine the pace is pretty crazy.
The pace is unbelievably crazy. This is my second short session, and I don't remember the first one being this crazy. But yeah, there's a lot going on, and including the Democrats are also trying to move the tax referral vote to May, and that is really one of the hottest topics in the building right now. There's a lot of negotiations happening. You know, frankly, the governor is negotiating not so much on policy, but more on what do we need to do so that we can have bipartisan support on her fix for the transportation issue. And frankly, I can't get into all the details on that, but frankly, she wants a bipartisan agreement because she wants to get reelected. Our opinion is that you put us in this hole. This is where we got under your guidance and leadership. And people should remember, she was Speaker of the House for 9 years before she was ever the governor. So she's had plenty of years to cause the issues that she's had. And frankly, we would like to see her fix it the correct way.
Now, with the GOP in the minority, though, how do you make progress on your party's budget priorities?
Well, you know, politics is all about leverage, right? So there are some things that they really need our help with. There are some things they need our support on. We're in a campaign year, frankly. They have a lot of swing seats. You know, those are districts where they could go back to the Republicans pretty easy. And right now, frankly, what's happening in politics is the Democrat Party's not looking too good in Oregon. So they are, I think, to the best of their ability, they are trying to soft pedal things coming in. And, you know, we're taking a pretty firm stance on it, right? We're not going to give much. This is not the time where the Republican Party is going to bend over and say, hey, we're going to go ahead and, you know, bow to you guys. We're not doing that. So it's going to get dicey over the next 2 weeks.
Now, you mentioned the gas tax referendum. Is there a idea as to when that's going to be decided one way or the other? Do you think that's going to come early in the session, or do you think that's going to drag out a while?
Well, the bill's already been introduced, we believe, although it's a gut and stuff bill because they don't technically have a bill specifically for it, but this is how politics works. They put in a bill, they can stuff it with whatever amendment they want. We feel like that has been introduced under a bill number, and I think what you'll see happen next is they'll stuff it with something, and then they'll try to get it through committee and take it to a vote on the House floor. I don't know the timeline on how fast they can actually make that happen, but there's also the chance that it's not constitutionally legal. So, you know, the referral that was signed by 250,000 plus people stated on it that the ballot would go to the ballot in November. So it's unprecedented. It's never happened before where the legislature stepped in and changed something that was scheduled to go in November to May. It has happened the other way around. There's been some, but never this way. So we are asking for a legal opinion on it right now. And right now we don't know exactly how that's going to come in. So we're hoping for the legality of it is they have to let it go in November, but we'll find out. So the battle is yet to be had.
And it would be a tight timeline to do it in May in terms of when all the paperwork is going on, when you get arguments for and against and all of that, to get all of that done in time for the voters pamphlet, et cetera.
Yeah, no. You obviously you've been doing your homework, Kyle. There's that. So there's a timeline where they have to have this thing in. It has to be submitted, has to go to the voters. And you remember, you have overseas voters. You have our military folks have to get their ballots at a certain time. So there's a lot involved here. Timing is of the essence. It's very important. And our job is to make sure that we kill it before it gets there.
All right, State Representative Virgil Osborne. More when we come back to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 inside Douglas County. It's on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, Kara Carlisle, president of the Ford Family Foundation, talk about their new mission statement and some things that are going on with that organization on Inside Douglas County. From Salem, State Representative Virgil Osborne covering a lot of things with what's happening in the legislature. What about the more routine stuff? Talk about your committees, what goes on with committees during a short session.
Yeah, sure. So there's a lot going on in committees. And again, this is where we all kind of focus on our strengths in the areas that we work in. And it's really hard for, there's 23 of us. It's hard for us to get information back and forth from each of our committees. So I'm a vice chair on one of the committees. So my responsibility is to share that information with the caucus, of course. But my favorite committee and the one that I probably have the most pull in is the Climate, Energy, and Environment Committee, and we've been working on some pretty good stuff, and I'm hoping that that some of the stuff we see go through committee actually comes to pass. Some industrial symbiosis stuff is some of the things that they've been working on, and that's it's an interesting concept where they're taking industrial waste and turning it back into energy or use of other stuff. My big grind there is we have to get out of our own way. We have to become a state that we've got to quit talking about it. We actually have to make it happen, and so we're working on that. I did get a visit from the governor's office folks here yesterday. There's some bills in one of my committees that are going through for the Governor's Prosperity Council. They're working on a bill that gives a kind of fast tracks the industrial, like a business coming into an area that's going to, be a manufacturing business. It fast tracks the ability for that business to get their permitting. It was interesting because it pretty much focused around the $150 million mark. And I said in committee, I'm like, well, the $150 million for a business to come into, rural Oregon is a big stretch. That's not going to happen. So they actually put a number in at $50 million. And then they came to my office and said, do you think it needs to be lower than that? I said, yeah, it needs to be lower than that. I don't think businesses are going to come to Douglas County. There will always be some of those, but I don't think businesses are going to come into Douglas County and average $50 million of investment to move here. So I think we're shooting for the $20 million mark to get those incentive breaks and, things like that. There's just a lot of that going on. Hopefully we can do some good work while we're here. That's the intent.
And will the direction of the legislature that it takes this session, is that going to be impacted by both sides getting ready for the midterm elections?
Well, so, interesting you bring that up because a lot of the bills that we're watching right now are focused around immigration. And the majority of the bills that we're watching that are focused around immigration are coming from the Democrat side, and most of them we feel are probably unconstitutional. Almost all will be challenged, but they're posturing for the midterms. They're trying to make, push their cause, and the whole Trump, anti-Trump movement is strong here in the building, especially when you get on the second floor. So, yeah, I think you're going to see more of that. Unfortunately, that does not do our state any good at all. And we can talk about the disconnect that they're talking about doing from the federal tax basis, and that's going to really hurt. Right now we have an avenue to get no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and you get a write off your car interest on your loan. They're dead set on taking all of that away from us.
And what would be the reason for that?
Well, they can't afford to lose the tax money because we have such a big deficit, we have to make it up somewhere. So they don't want the federal government's, they want to disconnect the state from the federal government's plan. and continue to collect the tax on overtime and continue to collect the tax on tips and a host of other things. So that's how politics works.
Has anything come up in this session specifically related to the state housing situation, trying to get more homes built around Oregon?
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I actually put in a grant request for a capital construction project for $5 million to build 30 homes in the Roseburg area for low-income housing. So that's also at play right now. Hopefully we were able to pull that off. But, you know, interestingly enough, that is not the high point in the legislature right now. I think the high point, at least for the Republican side, is affordability, which that kind of does encompass it to a degree. But no, the Democrats are not talking about that at all. Their biggest issue is trying to find a way to continue on with taxes and, frankly, trying to stop immigration control, ICE, and all of that from happening. And, of course, we have a gun bill, right? I don't think we'd have a session if we didn't have a gun bill. So we've got a House Bill 4145 is just kind of reinforces Measure 114 again. I don't see them talking about homelessness or housing issues at all.
What about the idea of trying to retain business in Oregon, especially in light of some of the companies that have left or are thinking about leaving? Anything come up in that regard?
Well, that all kind of revolves around the governor's policy, her new Council for Prosperity, and they're working hard in the background. And we're saying, okay, now you have this Prosperity Council. Is it for real or is it for your reelection? The Prosperity Council, I believe, is actually being led by former Senator Knope as well, and we're asking him the same thing. Now, he's a Republican, and we're going, okay, so you know what needs to be done. You know that businesses need tax breaks. They need incentive breaks, and they need a reason to come to Oregon. They need to get around agencies. They need to get DEQ out of the mix. All of these things have to happen. The governor understands it, or at least she says she does, and now they have to stand up to it and make it happen. They're going to have to sidestep all of their environmental policies to make that happen as well, because DEQ and the environmentals are strong here. And so if they don't bypass that, then they're just talking about stuff that's never going to happen.
You are the whip for the GOP in the House. Explain what that means and what that adds to your plate.
Sure, yeah. I tend to organize the meetings when we do our caucus meetings. I'm kind of the guy that, kind of the coach or whatever. I also count votes on the House floor, and I'll visit with all of our caucus members when we're working on a bill that, they need to be, we all need to be in lockstep with or not. I'll find out. And I basically report back to the leader of our caucus, and it's a fun position, has its moments. There's challenges. Republicans tend to not always agree with each other. My job is to somehow get in the middle of that and see if we can make them agree.
For Douglas County or Southern Oregon, it seems like we've got more representation in GOP leadership right now than is normally the case.
Yeah, you do. You actually have myself as the whip. So you have Representative Alex Garlatos as the vice leader, deputy leader of the minority party in the House. And then you also have Senator Brock Smith, who is the minority leader in the Senate. So we have three of the highest ranking positions in the legislature right now that are coming out of, Southern Oregon, but two of them are coming from Douglas County specifically.
And how does that help the influence level for this part of Oregon?
You're never ignored. We always have a say, and Douglas County always gets a place at the table.
And talk about why that's so important.
Well, I think rural Oregon's important. I realize most of our Republicans come from rural Oregon, but there's a big difference between eastern Oregon, so to speak, and western, southwestern Oregon, completely different economies. I mean, we revolve around timber and other issues, where eastern Oregon may revolve around farming. Wildfire is always an issue. They don't have such the issue with it in parts of eastern Oregon as we do in, southwestern Oregon, southern Oregon. So being able to be at that table, being able to be part of those discussions, and being able to put the input into how bills are formed and shaped and laws happen means everything. I mean, that is, we have to have representation. That's why I was put here. And you can trust that there will never be a time, as long as I'm in this office, that Southern Oregon isn't heard, because I make it a point to do that.
Just to be a few moments left, what's kind of ahead topic-wise in the next day or so in Salem?
Well, we'll probably be here. We'll be here tomorrow, but I don't think we'll be in the building on Friday. So we will have a quick session, floor session tomorrow. But more of the same. We're just going to be continuing to try to get these bad bills worked on and get them out of there. That's about it.
We'll check in again soon. State Representative Virgil Osborne on Inside Douglas County, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.